Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. I guess we understand that language. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and well, you're at the right place and at a different time. We are holding a special late night edition this evening. And so, for those of you who are listening live, well, thank you for tuning in. And as we say, hanging in there. And for those of you who are in the archives, it's good to talk to you in the future. And for, well, hopefully you'll be enlightened in listening to me in the past. Interesting perspective when you put some thought into it. This evening, a little different from past programs. I'm going to be your special guest. I was looking back through my archives of programs over the last full couple of years, realizing that indeed it is rare that I take the time to speak to and have an uncommon discourse with you, the listener. So this is one such evening. No coincidence, we did have a guest lined up. However, Mother Nature wouldn't have it that way. And I'm one to believe all things work together for good. And there's a second part to that quote, which speaks to my spirituality. And it goes like this. To those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You see, that's my spirituality. And so with that said, our guest this evening was going to be none other than, well, our partner and friend, Dr. Craig Wright. And for those of you who are regular listeners, well, you understand that Dr. Wright does reside now in North Carolina. And guess what's happening there, folks? You got it. Hurricane D. So when Mother Nature calls, we have no choice but to respect. And as I said, there's a reason for everything. Dr. Wright was really trying to make this program, but it just was not to be. If you were to look on or Google your local weather and look at the national perspective, you'll see that right about now, our friends, our fellow citizens in the North Carolina, South Carolina area, they're getting battered right now. So I would just be remiss if I didn't say at this point in time, my prayer, and I would ask you that your prayers will go out to those folks. Having gone through that scenario, I don't wish that on anyone that I have any type of love for. In fact, to be more exact, I would pray that no one that I have any affinity for would ever have to go through that. And frankly, I wouldn't want, well, I was going to say an enemy to go through that, but I better watch myself there. No, in true, broad enlightenment, you know, we're supposed to love our enemies. And so I wouldn't want to be the one to try to do harm. You see, our enemies, those who would do harm to us, especially for no reason, I do believe in karma, and I do believe that although we may not see it, they will get there just in the end. So to all those in North Carolina, South Carolina right now, and it looks as though from what the weather meteorologists and specialists are forecasting, it is going to shift out into the ocean after doing whatever it's going to do in that northernmost part of the United States that it's supposed to affect. So we just keep them in prayer. Here on the East Coast, it's been more than a few years since we've gone through that with Hurricane Sandy. And I'll tell you, folks, prior to that, here being in New Jersey, northeast New Jersey, about 20 miles outside of New York City, maybe 20 30 miles outside of New York City, we got battered, and with Hurricane Sandy, and having gone through, as I said, numerous, you know, hurricanes in terms of skirting off the coast of New Jersey, two, three, four, five inches. which is, that's a lot of rain, folks. You know, something like that equates to 5 feet of snow if it were cold enough. So that's a lot of water. Believe that. It may seem like a little when you talk about 3 inches of rain, but you spread that over a large area. So if you were to concentrate that 3 inches in a smaller area, you could be looking upwards of feet of water. And that's why when we see that 10 inches of rain and you see those canoes floating down the street, that's 10 inches spread over a broad area. And more than likely, if there are any areas where that water can concentrate, it accumulates in feet. So when you're talking about a hurricane, the magnitude of that which came up the coast, a Category 5, now slowing down to about a 2, from a 3 to about a 2 right now, that's serious business. We here in New Jersey, in dealing with Sandy, and we got a direct hit within miles of where I am, we were out of power for almost 2 weeks. I'd never experienced that before. But just imagine, if you haven't experienced being out of power for 2 weeks, I mean, you may be out for a day or two or three, and I've experienced that prior to this that situation. But after the fifth day, because at first it was kind of an anomaly. It was, you know, it was interesting because we had kind of prepared. We knew it was possibly going to hit, and we might be out of power for a day or two. But listen, folks, after that fifth day, it wasn't fun anymore. You know, it wasn't about, oh, we got the candles and the batteries and the lights and, you know, the families huddling around and reading stories under candlelight and, you know, the young one, you know, at the time, our daughter must have been around 9, 10. You know, it was no more fun. It became very, very serious situation. You know, one thing I will say that came out of it was you find out who your real friends and neighbors are, because our neighbors began to look on one another, and I felt pretty good about where I am in regard to the neighborhood. The neighbors on my street really checked in on one another, looked out for one another, shared with one another, and so that was a good feeling. But folks, it's no joke. And you know, all areas of the country have some peril of Mother Nature. I mean, if you're in the Midwest, you've got the tornadoes. If you're on the West Coast, you've got the earthquakes. Of course, in the South, you've got the hurricanes, the flooding. If you're up in the Midwest, the Northern Midwest, we're talking about the North Coast, where I'm from, Cleveland and Chicago and Minnesota and upstate New York and the like, North Dakota and going out west further. You've got the snow, which can be devastating. I've experienced that. When you're not measuring inches, you're measuring feet over a long period of time. Then you also get the ice storms, which are worse. So I guess we all, in one way or another, have Mother Nature to deal with. So with that said, truly, my prayers go out to those folks in North Carolina, and what prompted me to begin that conversation, specifically, Dr. Wright, our prayers are with you, that you and your loved ones will be fine in getting through that. And we're looking forward to having you joining us sometime in the near future, Dr. Wright. For those of you who are new listeners, Dr. Wright is our resident numerologist, and it's always a joy when he joins us. And he was slated, as most months, he joins us for the first Thursday of the month. coming out to you, Dr. Wright. So with that said, I had to preempt my own program, which is always a joy, because I get to talk with you and, you know, have some uncommon discourse. I just want you to know the lines are open for whatever is on your mind. That number to call in is 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. If that's the number that you dial to get into the program and you're not listening through your computer, press 1 on your dial, and myself or my engineer will see what we call a tag, and we'll bridge you into the call, and we'd love to hear what's on your mind. With that said, we're here at Progressive News bringing you news and information week in and week out that's truly intended to encourage you and inspire you, enlighten you, and empower you. And last but not least, to hopefully instill you to get involved in what's going on around you, utilizing the information that we bring week in and week out to make a difference, a positive difference in the lives of yourself, your loved ones, your colleagues, and all others that you come in contact with. That's what we're about, folks. So this evening, no different. We're going to talk a little bit this evening because I'm just playing on what's on my heart about spirituality and about energy. For those of you who've been with me over these almost 10 years now, you know that's something that's near and dear to me because from my perspective as one of my mentors and colleagues has always said, energy is everything and everything is energy. As a nutritionist and naturopath and a holistic specialist, I've certainly come to embrace that through empirical knowledge, through actual study and proof that there's nothing more true than that. And what more energy than that exists within us? And I'm referring to the thought process. And this gets to some of the physicality, physiology, and spirituality. Because that thought process is something that you can't really see as it's occurring. You can see the results of it because everything around us is the result of thought, but you can't see it itself. You can't see those electrical firing of neurons that are taking place in the nervous system, but yet we know it's there. I couldn't be speaking and you couldn't be listening without it. So sometimes as I've become more aware in my studies over these last 20 years, sometimes it kind of boggles my mind when I think about someone that would question that. It's almost as mind-boggling as someone that would question, well, global warming. Yeah, just about as mind-boggling as that. So I just want to just take a moment to say we've discussed meditation, and with that said, I am still conducting the meditation sessions at the studio. So if you're ever on East Coast or you're near Plainfield, New Jersey, stop by, join me for one of my meditation sessions. I on Tuesday evenings and Friday evenings conduct meditation sessions. I've been studying meditation for some 30 years. Started when I entered my junior year of college when I joined a meditation group, and we started with transcendental meditation, and I was just so engrossed with that I never stopped, and since then I've been trained in, I'd say, at least 4 types of meditation formally, and have somewhat developed 2 customized meditations not talking about religion here, folks. Regardless of whatever it is that you subscribe to, whether it's Buddhism or Christianity or the Muslim faith or the Jewish faith, whatever it is religious-wise that you subscribe to, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about pure mindfulness. I'm talking about that which will enhance whatever your religious beliefs are. In fact, it's stated throughout all of the doctrines of all religions, the value of meditation in one place and another. So mindfulness and meditation is critically important. And you know what? Now science is beginning to get on board. I was going to slip and tell something that I don't believe is true and say something like science has caught up. Science is still yet to catch up, but at least science is on board with some of the spiritual modalities. And of course, science is based on what they want to call empirical knowledge, so it has to be something that can be studied, theorized, and then studied, and it has to be result-oriented. But that's a good thing, because results have shown that those who meditate, they have enough years of study, and that's why they're behind, because they have to get enough years of study to develop a pattern. And so they being those in the higher institutions, and I'm not talking about a local study group. I'm talking about Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, Columbia, Stanford, some of the more respected and recognized institutions around the country, Ohio State, Florida State. I mean, all across the country. I start naming, you know, I had to say Ohio State because that's my home state. But whenever I start naming specifics, I'll get a phone call. Hi, you left me out just because I'm in Missouri. Ms. You. And all right, folks, probably about right now, every major and many, if not most, smaller institutions of higher learning have some reference to the values of meditation. And so with that, I was going to say, and am going to say, they have shown that those who meditate actually live longer. It can influence your cardiovascular system. It can, and here's where I get into the mindfulness and how the mind can influence the physicality. It's even shown to be able to influence certain chronic conditions such as diabetes. So think about that and where this is headed. And I say where this is headed because I do believe our society is approaching a critical mass. A critical mass meaning the masses are about to embark on another level of existence. Not just from a mental perspective, but from a spiritual perspective. And that's just our society coming into balance. It's really that simple. You see, we are so out of balance now that a major shift is due. When I say out of balance, look at what's happening. We're at a point now where it's not months that go by when we have a major catastrophe or a major mass murder, killing. We're looking at weeks in between these occurrences. And that's something that is obviously a pattern that nature will reverse. It's just human nature. It's like the oceans eventually cleanse themselves. And part of that cleansing, I believe, will be this critical mass of insight and enlightenment. This evening, I invited numerous previous guests to come and join me whenever I preempt my own program like this. I always invite those who want to join in. I call it the synergy of dialogue. And so again, the dial-in number is 347-838-9142. And you'll press 1 on your dial if you'd like to participate in this uncommon discourse, as I like to refer to it as. You know, as a nutritionist and naturopath, for the years that I've mentioned, over 2 decades now, I've come to realize everything that you need is around you in one form or another, whether it's something as simple as a friend or just an ear. Sometimes you just need to voice what's on your heart. I didn't say your mind. But sometimes you have to voice what's on your heart. And there's always someone there. If you get still, and that's where meditation can help, and seek that which you desire and need, it will come to you. It inevitably will come to you. It has to. It's a part of nature. As true as the blades of grass will always grow toward the sun. So I encourage you to take that time out. Next week, I'll let you know up front, before you even get the announcement, we're scheduled to have one of my friends and mentors, Dr. Mendoza, a Master Glenn, who was one of the foremost recognized masters in meditation. And he also has many other accolades under his belt, including being one of the few chronic healers in the world, one of probably 5 to 10 in the world. He's scheduled next week, so be sure to try to join us next week. And we'll be getting more into some of aspects of this topic. I was hoping this evening that we might have been able to have some discourse, if you will, dialogue with an individual who has been on the program, and he'll be on at some point in the future, talking about a movement that's taking place that is so under the radar, but eventually you can't suppress that which is of a higher energy, but so long. A movement, and it's somewhat of a religious movement, that is enlightening a new perspective. And I'm saying new because, relatively speaking, it's one that's not known. So more about that later. As we embark on this conversation this evening, and also as we move forward this month, I'm looking forward to some of our programming this month. Something else that we'll be talking about as the children go back to school, just to give you some pointed insight into what's coming up. We're going to have some real discussion about this vaccine issue, the vaccination issue, and what's happening in our society there. That stems back to the influence that the medical industry has on our government. So we're going to be talking more and more about that, and I'll be bringing on numerous specialists in that area that have a broader view of the vaccination issue. Now, with that said, I don't want to be like MSNBC or CNN or Fox, where you have these extreme perspectives. We don't have news anymore, and I'm going to agree with our president on that one, and I say that because, you know, so often if you mention agreeing with our president, you know, lines are always open for anyone that would like to have any type of a dialogue about a differing opinion or a common and like opinion. But our president talks about the fake news. I don't believe in throwing the baby out with the bathwater. So you can say, well, there's nothing that man can say that's true. And that there couldn't be anything further from the truth, folks. Don't kid yourself. Don't get caught up in the media frenzy, because there's many things that I agree with him on. I said many. Yes, I did. That doesn't mean 90% or 80% or 50%. But it certainly means more than a few. Like the OJ said, you'll bleed. That was from Stairway to Heaven, in case you all didn't catch that, my old school listeners. But anyway, he talks about the fake news. And I agree with that. You see, news used to be back in the day of David Brinkley, remember him? Where the news was just that. They were bringing information that was just that, information, whether they agreed with it or not. And most of the time, you couldn't tell if the newscasters had an opinion one way or the other. They were just bringing the information. And if there was a counter viewpoint, you would often have a counter viewpoint. But today, if you watch MSNBC or Fox News, you're going to hear one perspective. So in effect, you're getting indoctrinated from one perspective. And if you want to hear another perspective, you've got to go to a different station. And nothing does my heart better than a good debate. You know, a good disagreement with both sides bringing the facts that they bear. And I don't know when the last time I've seen that. I'm starting to see it. Truth be told, more on Fox News. I don't do a lot of media television. I don't. But I do occasionally tune in because it's the smart thing to do. You don't want an avalanche to be coming and you don't know it. So I want to know what kind of things are being spurred on the media, how far extreme they're going, how misleading they actually are. No, misunderstand, I'm not saying it's 100% just bad news, because there's information to be had on all of those stations. It's just that, generally speaking, our news stations have become polarized to the point where you can't turn on a news on, well, now it's affecting the major networks, that's NBC, CBS, and ABC. But that doesn't surprise us, because now it's all about big business and who's behind those networks. So when you can't trust your news, we've got to be careful for things like fascism and, you know, some of that. I mean, people are talking about, oh, socialism. We better be very careful about fascism and look the word up, folks. When you talk about not being able to get real, unadulterated, you know, non-influenced by business or political interest information. And it's getting there. So I would just say be very, very careful in tuning in to one venue for your news, because you might be very, very surprised at the end of the road that everything you heard was not what it was put out to be. And I've seen that on many, many occasions. So, yeah, I tune in a little bit of Fox, a little bit of CNN, a little bit of MSNBC. There's one American network. There's some new networks that are coming out on cable, just to give you some different perspectives. But do yourself a favor, folks, and get some of those different perspectives. Because as I said, as much as I disagree with our president, not to go on a political bench here in this segment, there are a number of things that I do agree with, unquestionably. latest that he's being bantered with is with regard to the hurricane, and he made a statement. I had a Category 5, I didn't know. We've had so few Category 5s, and I don't believe he didn't know. He's so egotistical. Trump, you're so egotistical. And, you know, I guess that goes with the territory to some extent, and I'm not making excuses. But Oprah Winfrey's egotistical. And I'm just saying from the other side, because these are folks that are of opposing views. Barack Obama's egotistical. You have to be to some extent, because there's a sort of a thin line between that egotistical banter and self-confidence. And then often we'll cross that line back and forth, but it's sort of a gray area there. It's a slippery slope. But truly, our president, he's got an ego about the size of the Empire State Building. But at the same time, as I said, I believe that goes with the territory. It can be said that I'm egotistical to an extent, and I would say, and I've been told that. And maybe I don't show that often. Maybe I do on the air. But certainly in some of the things that I operate and run, organizations and the like, and my business, and the operation that I run, where I work, it requires a minimum degree of self-confidence and assertiveness that some would say is egotistical in nature. So I would encourage anyone with children or surrogate children or grandchildren and nieces, nephews, to encourage them that they should have a minimum amount of self-confidence, even to the point where it could be deemed as egotistical. Because I'd rather see an individual be deemed with a little bit of egotism than be deemed as a wimp. That truly will not serve you in the society that we live in. And that wimp is sort of a slang term, but I'm just saying someone that will make decisions based on predominantly what someone else thinks. You can't bring your best gift out living that way. It's just not practical. And I believe anyone of any value that's serving any real purpose, if they were objective about that, would agree to some extent. You don't want to be an extreme one way or the other. So back to the energy, as you can see, our time is just slipping by here. Back to the energy component and the importance of meditation. As I said, studies are showing that people who meditate are happier. They raise more balanced children. What do I mean by balanced? Children who have more emotional stability. And what is emotion? What is emotion? I would say emotion is attitude. And not attitude as in bad attitude. You see, you have great and wonderful attitudes as well as bad attitudes. Just attitude, plain attitude. What is your position on a given thing? You know, is the glass half empty or is the glass half full? Is it partly cloudy or is it partly sunny? That's related to emotion. And so when you have a fragile emotion, and that gets back to having a certain degree of self-confidence. When your emotions are fragile, and I'm taking some of this from some psychology 101, and surely I'm no psychologist. I have psychologists who've been on the program. I'll do a quick aside. I've been so blessed on this program over the change yourself. I'm sure within the listening voice that I present to you right now, you are a remarkable mind in your own right. Seek your gift. If you haven't found it, trust me, you have it. I'm still working on mine, folks. And not just seek your gifts, try to understand your weaknesses. Because you see, you can't have day without night. You can't have hot without cold. And you can't have good without bad. Because if there was no bad, why would you need a good? So understand that we all have weaknesses as well. And those weaknesses help you to appreciate and identify your strengths. So I encourage you all to seek that out. So now back to what I was saying. I am so blessed to have had so many remarkable minds that that I've been affiliated with. I think about so many. I'm just going to start naming. The ones I'm naming have transcended. So I'm not worried about some of the ones I forget, because these are just folks that have transcended, folks who have made their transition. Now, spiritually, they can get on my case, but I don't have to worry about the phone ringing. Dick Gregory, I'm throwing one out at you, a shout. The conversations he and I had behind the scenes when we would talk in the mornings, you see, I knew when to catch him. And when he was available for a few moments in any given week or month, if he wasn't traveling somewhere around the world. And just that 15 minutes before I would go to work in the morning added up over the years that I came to know him. And it wasn't a long time, folks. I'll be sure to tell you, I'm not trying to banter that me and Dick were best friends, running buddies. Whenever he's in town, he gave me a call. But I am saying that I had an opportunity to talk with Dick Gregory like most others could not. I had his personal number. I could call him, and if he was home and he saw my number, he would pick up the phone. And that's inside my core. That's part of who I am and some of the things that I talk about. Amiri Baraka, his son is the mayor of Newark. And that's a whole other story in terms of that relationship, but I'll give you a little glimpse of it. Amiri was one of the first, I would say, notable guests that I had on my program going back eight or nine years. He was one of my guests within the first year of me being on air, consistently being on air. And he really mentored me and encouraged me from just, I suspect, conversations that he had with me. And he used to say, Daryl, don't ever give this up. Don't ever stop. You've got a gift. And that's just something he used to tell me. And he said, your gift is not necessarily your knowledge base, but your ability to bring people together and to absorb information from the individuals that will be brought to you. And though that knowledge will not come out in one mass state, as though, you know, Mary taught me about poetry and now I'm the great poet, but in those conversations that he and I would have, from time to time, you'll see spurts of it. It's like a parent. You'll see spurts of that knowledge coming out. Now think about him, Ernie Larson. Many of you don't know about Ernie, a great, great author. He also has made his transition. Oh, there's so many. Oh, my God. Devya, the gong expert that taught me how to appreciate the mighty gong. She was one of my mentors that taught me about meditation out of New York City, out of Harlem, respected nationwide for being one of the premier experts in the gong. She taught me a different form of meditation. And she rests in peace. All that energy is there with me. As I said, as these individuals have made their transition. So I could go on and on and just talk about the many folks. And I know, as I said, that I could additional names of those, but I'm not worried about them picking up the phone and saying, hey, you left me out. Because in future programs like this, I will mention some of those individuals. So it's a pleasure of mine to be able to bring forth whatever it is that I can, that I have, to you, have tuned in this evening. Before I close out the program, I talked about my meditation that's coming up. And again, I would be remiss if I did not mention that my 5K walk run, which I do annually, and this is our ninth year with that, folks. We do it the second Saturday in October, and it's held in Plainfield, New Jersey, where I reside, and it starts at 8 o'clock on a Saturday. It's October 12th this year. Go to our website. If you happen to be in the tri-state area, that's, of course, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Some folks say New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey. That would be the quad state, I guess, area. But if you're on the Northeast Coast, because we have had folks that have traveled up from Delaware, you know, have traveled down from New England. Yes. I mean, they happen to have relatives here. But we have a fine 5K course. So I invite you to come out and participate. We have a great time. We have music. We have marching bands. We have entertainment, demonstrations of martial arts and Zumba and food. It's just a good fall festive time. And, of course, we have the 5K, which is a certified course. 5K is 3.1 miles, folks. So for those of you who say, well, I'm not into running, you don't have to be. Just come out. If you have a business, we're seeking vendors, and what a great time, right? That's the beginning of the holiday season, as we say, and I'm not one to endorse doing all your shopping around that time of the year, but giving is good. I'll repeat that. Giving is good. Do I believe in spending all your money during the Christmas holiday? No, I don't. But there's something about as the leaves begin to turn and people begin to slow down and you have an opportunity to not necessarily be out and about. And that goes for those in the South as well. You see, it's warm there in the winter, but it's not as warm as it is in the summer. So, you know, throughout all aspects of this country, we go through a season of one sort or another. Some places more extreme than others. So as we go into that autumn season here in America, at least, it's a transition. It's part of a transition that allows us to go into a different phase of existence, not just on a physical level, but on a mental and a spiritual level as well. And I'm saying that to say it gives us a chance to reflect on the experiences we've had, the lessons we've learned, the loved ones that are around us, those who we appreciate, and those that, frankly, we need to maybe separate ourselves from. So with that said, that's an opportunity to give. And I know the retail world wants to tie it in with Christmas. And I mean, there's some talk about that as well. And we're going to actually have some guests that are going to come on and talk about that whole aspect of Christmas. And really, was Christmas the birth of Christ on the 25th of December? You know, and that's some thought. And I'm not being blasphemous. I love the Lord. I tell you, I believe in Jesus Christ. Because you're saved by your faith. I do believe that. That's all part of the intent of our existence. Your intent is the one that allows you to shoot a half-court shot on a basketball court and make it with confidence. You know, it's your intent that allows you to throw what they call the Hail Mary on a football field. It's intent that allows that walk-off home fine. I know you went to L.A. You need to bring your butt back to Cleveland. But anyway, that's okay. We got the Browns coming up. I'm saying mentioning his name because he's recognized as being one of the greatest. Now, we're not going to have a debate, but you can call in. The lines are open. We can have some discussion because he is by far, if not the, one of the greatest that are playing right now. Now, he's getting older, so granted, I have to admit that there are those that are challenging that. And I won't mention any names, not to give anybody else credit over my homeboy, or sort of homeboy down the road, Akron. But I'm just saying that of all the greatness that he is, a lot of that is just simply intent. Serena Williams, intent. Tiger Woods. He's a prime example. You see what happened to him when he had that faux pas with his wife? That was his subconscious working against him. As much as you might intend to do well, you can't lie to your subconscious. You just can't. You can try and you may get away with it for a bit, but eventually I believe it's going to catch up with you. So you need to have a clean and clear heart, folks. And that brings to mind, I get this question a lot as a consultant for clients around the country. Why is it that good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people? Well, you know, intent can work both ways, folks. But like I said, eventually it does catch up. We don't always see it, but it does. You can believe that. That's for sure. So we are beyond the top of the hour. And I'm going to do this more frequently. Have an uncommon discourse. I know it was spontaneous, so I know there were listeners that were tuning in earlier that missed the program. Hopefully they'll catch us on the archives. But let me know what you think, the kinds of things that you'd like to hear me talk about. Drop me an email to Daryl, Daryl_CLA18 at MSN.com. Or you can send me an email to progressivenews@msn.com. And as I said, we're going to be talking more about my 5K walk run that's coming up in October and the weeks ahead. We're looking forward to this being the biggest and best yet. The town I live in is Plainfield, New Jersey, celebrating 150 years. The name of my event is the Historic Walk Run for Life. It's called historic because, well, we know where this country started. It started on the East Coast, well, by most standards, okay? I know there are some other perspectives. But significantly, it did start with the 13 colonies. And I know there are some other, like I said, perspectives about those who were here prior to. And I believe there is truth to that. But as our history goes, much of that did start in terms of the action, you know, when our European forefathers came over to start this, you know, prior to what's known in terms of people of color being here. Because at the end of the day, we can't forget that. But I'm just referring to, generally speaking, historically, a lot of what started in this country started in the East Coast. So in the town I live in, you know, Georgie Porgy, I'm talking about George Washington, he did a lot of action around here. We have a lot of towns and streets named after George. Washington Street and Washington Circle in New York. You got Washington Park. A lot of that is just simply because a lot of what he did was right here in this tri-state area. And so the town I live in has a lot of rich history, but not just from, you know, our European aspect, but a lot of African Americans did a lot of notable things in this area. I'll throw one out at you. You may have heard of Milt Campbell, M-I-L-T, Campbell, like Campbell Soup, one of the greatest athletes, unquestionably. I mean, this is isn't something that's subjective, to ever walk the planet. He's one of few Olympians as a teenager to take the gold, and 2 years in a row. I mean, he didn't take the gold 2 years in a row. He was a decathlonist. And so a lot of history here. That's just one of many notable athletes and scientists and the like that came from this area. So the historic rock run is what we call it, and the idea is to enlighten our children to know where they came from, to know their history. It's so important that we know our background and our history. It's just so critically important, especially those of us of African-American descent. We need to know our history, but not just our history, but we need to know the history of where we are so we can understand more of why we're in the scenario that we're in. Why is it that we are dealing with the prejudicism that's around us? You see, this goes back to those founding fathers who just had it any way they wanted. And as we talked about egos, they weren't bound to, we're talking about, you know, going back to the Vanderbilt and the Rockefellers where wealth began. That was all white wealth. We weren't even allowed to vote or even be, talk about in the room, to be in the, be seen. So while that wealth was developing, and don't misunderstand me, there were some African Americans, you know, Frederick Douglass and so there were some that that had some knowledge and some wealth, but far and few in between, folks. You know, Du Bois was another one. I mean, there were some, but far and few in between. Not even a fraction of the kind of wealth that we're talking about that this country was built on. And so you have to understand why we are at a disadvantage to this day, because that builds and builds and builds. And then you've got, you know, that whole aspect of the crabs in a barrel, which one of my guests, you know, speaks so articulately about from time to time, Dr. Eddie Taylor, who wrote the book The Day the Crabs Got Out, The Revitalization of America. So there's so much history that we need to understand about ourselves before we can truly advance. Because, you see, as one of my other guests has been on the program many times, she says, in the African-American community, we need to learn to cut the heads off of our own snakes. See, we have so many snakes right in our own backyard of African-American descent that are truly undermining what we're doing. And it's occurring right now with the music industry. So many have sold out. You know how much wealth right now is in the music industry? So with that said, we'll be talking more about that in the future. And I'm going to wrap up our program. I'm being beckoned that my airtime is about done. And so I'd just like to thank those of you who tuned in this evening. Truly appreciate you. I'm looking forward to next week when we have another interesting and exciting program. And I invite you to take some time out with yourself so that you can enhance the lives of those around you. And with that, I'm going to leave a little something-something bumper tune to close out this evening's program. Something by one of my favorite artists. Called Prayer for the World. So thank you for tuning in. God bless you. Again, pray for those who are dealing with this horrific storm coming up the East Coast. You don't know when you may be dealing with something in peril. We'll be praying for you. Or something that may be coming through here, and I hope you'll be praying for me and my life. And let's just say a prayer for the world. Until next week. Wait, I'm going to pray it myself really quick. Let me open up the airways. I have a caller.
Yes.
That I did promise. Are you there? 216?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
This is Cosmic Beauty.
Before we close out, what do you have?
Hello?
Yes.
I'd like to introduce you to Cosmic Beauty. And that she needs your help. She wants to put out her book, and I just want to introduce her to you briefly. She went in search of Cosmic Beauty. She is as cute as a monkey. She was the pick of the litter. She had a cry like a smoke detector. She had the beckon of all within range. She has a wing that is broken. She had to have it her way. She took on more than she could handle. She enlisted the strongest of them to win her battles. She keeps a lot of admirers. She stays at the top of the list. She was renamed Cosmic Beauty. She went in search of the number one Superman. She went at it like Venus de Milo. She thought she had found him. That was her big mistake, her downfall. She went on the warpath when Superman disappointed. She had passed me by. That was her big mistake, her downfall. I can understand her, and I love her. Maybe I'll dress in loud colors so she can see me better. She loves loud colors. That is just the beginning of the life of Cosmic Beauty. So I'd like to, that's a brief introduction to Cosmic Beauty. And she has 19 jewels of what she calls written words that does not introduce anything that's new on this earth, but she feels it's a very clever and effective way of giving it to people so that they could have humor, love, laughter, and even hate in their lives. All of them have perspective. I am trying to put out a book, and I am asking for support with such, and I'm doing it in the name of Cosmic Beauty, and God bless you all. And that's what I have to say.
Well, you know what? We appreciate that. So with that said, listeners, you just heard that shout-out and that beautiful written spoken word from Cosmic Beauty, and I do recognize the digits. One of our regular listeners, I'm so pleased and happy for you that you have put a volume together. I've heard some of your prose over the years, and this is a plus. So I'd like to just put it out there that I'd like for you to come back and perhaps share a little bit more about what you're doing, what you've accomplished, and perhaps spread some of that love with the listeners nationwide and worldwide. Would that be something that that we can do? We can reach out to you after the program, perhaps?
I would be very appreciative of that because my endeavor is to really share. Of course, it does take money to make the world go around, and that would be the only thing that I would ask for, and that would be so that I could make it possible for other people to share and enjoy that. And that is what that is going to be about, and the only reason why there is going to be about money. But it's about the other things I meant, hate, love, and all the ways that you could express the things that go on in this world and in the cosmic in general. And, yes, I would appreciate it, and I love you, and goodbye.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, you know what, folks? I'm glad I caught that before we exited, and we certainly invite you as well as Cosmic Beauty in the future. So I'm glad she brought that to mind to share, because that's what we're about. We're about germinating love and prosperity and peace and health and wellness, and there's enough of that for all of us to enjoy. facilitate that? I will. Oh, please don't misunderstand. I am not perfect, and I am not the Superman that she was referring to my own perspective. But sometimes people see in us things that we don't see ourselves. So with that, I will say, God bless you all. We will be reaching back to Cosmic Beauty, and anyone else that has anything to share, please reach out and let me know. And I'll certainly do my best to make that happen. God bless you, and let's go back to a prayer for the world.
When I look at the darkness all around us, I feel like I'm losing control.
Speaking of prayers, my prayers go out to all those who will be next week in about 6 days going through a remorseful period of 9-1-1, a very devastating time in the history of this country. And it's a sorrowful time. So my prayers go out to those of you who have suffered through that experience, through loss. And I say a prayer for the world, for all those who are experiencing any type of suffering. God bless us. Only love can save us now.
And